and in vain you worship me. So are our traditions transgressions? Their tradition had become a transgression. Today we use the word tradition in a little bit different way than maybe the first century people would have understood it. The Greek word tradition comes from paradosis, which means a handing down or a handing over. And in the early writings of Christians, the word tradition was often used of something that had been handed down from the apostles. We're going to see here in just a minute that the word paradosis, that's translated here tradition, is actually translated delivered or received in other texts of the Bible that talk about a divine tradition that the apostles handed down to the church. And so we have to clearly distinguish today between that which is handed down by the apostles and prophets inspired in the first century and that which we have just grown accustomed to doing because we've done it a long time, because one has binding force and the other does not. Something is not scriptural just because we've done it a long time, but because we find it in the Word of God in the New Testament. So, some examples of apostolic tradition. If you go in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll find that Paul talks to the church at Corinth about what he delivered to them. And that word deliver in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 11 is the same word, paradosis. And so in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, and remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, paradosis, that I delivered to you." And the word deliver is same as it, paradidomai, the verb form of that. If you go down to verse 23, when he talks about the Lord's Supper and what we do on the first day of the week and taking the Lord's Supper, he says, "I received of the Lord that which I also delivered, paradidomai, to you." And so these are divine traditions that God delivered through the apostles. 2 Thessalonians talks about traditions that we should follow, divine traditions. It says that we ought to keep the traditions that were given, whether by word, that is orally when they were with them, or by our letter, and that's what we would read in 1 or 2 Thessalonians. And in fact, traditions handed down by the apostles were so important that 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6 says that we are to withdraw from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received of us. And so tradition is not a bad word in the Bible. In fact, sometimes it refers to a divine thing that has been handed down through the apostles and prophets in the first century. What is bad is the human traditions that trump God's word. And so we're reading about that here in Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus says, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God?" Notice verse 3, "by your tradition," paradosis. Or do you remember how the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 that we should not be deceived? We should not follow the commandments or the traditions of men, but we should rather follow God. And so he says, "Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ," that's the word here, "receive, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes captive of you by philosophy or empty deceit," that is according to the tradition, human tradition, according to the elemental things of the world, the rudiments of the world, and not according to Christ. And so you have human tradition there, again, condemned, because it leads people astray from what they should be following Christ. And so tradition is used in those senses in the Bible, but sometimes today we use the word tradition just to talk about something that is routine or customary. For instance, the number of songs that we have in a worship service, or the order of the service, or the fact that we have an invitation hymn. Do we know in the first century church if they had a particular hymn that they sung after the sermon that was to invite people to come forward? We don't really have those details. We have invitations extended, certainly, and people responded to them, but did they have a hymn that they came down the aisle to? We don't have details like that. What about gathering the contribution? You know, since it's something where we're passing things around, like a plate either filled with bread or a plate that you put your money in, it's just easier for us to do those at the same time. And that's why a lot of times we point out this is a separate act. This is separate and apart from the Lord's Supper. We're taking this collection. All of those things are fine as long as we remember they're expedients. That is, they're easy ways to do things in the best way. You know, they're the fastest, most convenient way to carry out God's commands. But I cannot bind an expedient. If I start binding an expedient and saying if somebody does not follow our particular expedient, then I have started to create a human tradition that would transgress God's word. And so the traditions that we're talking about, human traditions that would go away from the teachings of the New Testament, are some of these things. In the New Testament, you just see people singing praises to the Lord. About the 10th century, instrumental music was first added. A cappella means in the style of the church. You know, there was a time in Rome where they understood that without instruments was the way that you did it in church. Congregational singing is what you find in the, you're to teach and admonish one another, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, instead of special choirs. Or worship is to be directed to God rather than trying to please people in some sort of entertainment style production. Baptism, we find, is somebody that is a penitent believer. They believe with all their heart. If they are willing to repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38, instead of what we find today, sometimes infants are baptized. You never have an example of that in the New Testament. Or the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, rather than a daily mass. Or one body, one church, all united under Christ, rather than various denominations. You don't find that in the New Testament. One faith, as opposed to many faiths. One God, as opposed to multiple gods. Or what some people like to say, well, Allah is just the same God as the Bible, he's just a different name. Those are things that are away from the divine traditions. And male leadership, the elders and the deacons and those that are preaching in the assembly. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14:34 and also 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 that men are to do those roles. And so we have a lot of things today that are human traditions that fly in the face of divine traditions. And so as we read through Matthew chapter 15, some observations. First of all, traditions become transgressions when they are valued above Scripture. Isn't that what the Pharisees did here? They were more concerned about following the tradition of Corban than they were about following the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother. And so when you and I elevate what man wants above what God wants, then that's a way in which our tradition becomes a transgression. What God wants is not determined by my likes or dislikes, by any error that I might, conclusion that I might come to, erroneous conclusion. It's not by my opinions, my opinion or somebody else's opinion. It's not by a vote of what's most popular, a consensus among some group. It's not determined by some well-known person or some person in the brotherhood. It's not by just what we've done in the sense of traditions. It's not even determined by my inability to see any harm in it. Well, I don't see why that would be a big deal. That's not how God authorizes. It's not just because we've done it a long time, and it's not even because the Bible doesn't say not to, that it's just silent about it. God authorizes by what he says, not by what he does not say. And so we need to have respect for the Scriptures. We don't need to follow the road of antiism where we are against things that the Bible authorizes. We don't want to bind where God is not bound. We don't want to make laws that God has not made. At the same time, we don't want to deny the laws that God has made. We don't want to go down the path of liberalism and loose where God has not loosed. We live in a day and a time where there are a lot of people that just want to dismiss authority on everything, and they don't want to make judgments on anything. And yet Jesus clearly shows here that these things were wrong and that they were blind leaders of the blind. Jesus is not PC here in Matthew chapter 15. Antiism tries to treat matters of opinion, expedience, like the way that you take care of orphans, as a you have to take it, do it this one particular way, and if you don't, then you're lost. So that's antiism. Liberalism treats matters of faith that we ought to bind as just matters of option. And today, a lot of people, faith and opinion are just relative. There's absolutely no, you know, absolutes, they would say. The only absolute is that there are no absolutes. That's today's thinking. And so we don't want to bind where God is not bound. We don't want to loose where God is not loosed. And we don't want to have the thoroughgoing idea of the day that we should just tolerate all views and we should not judge anybody for their view. That's not what Jesus did. He followed God's word and made sure that whatever God said, whatever was authorized by God, is what he was going to follow. Secondly, traditions become transgressions when they make our worship hollow. Notice here, these people praised him with their mouth, honored him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. When we come here and worship, and we sing these songs, or we take the Lord's Supper, are those just outward acts for you? What's going on in your spirit? What's going on in your heart? You see, if it's just an outward act with nothing on the inside, if it's just hollow, then we're like these people that honor him with our lips, but our hearts somewhere else. And so verses 8 and 9 would tell us that if we have hollow things that we're offering to God that we don't really involve our hearts in, then that is a tradition that has become a transgression. You see, God's word is to be respected by all people. All people are amenable to it. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Until the end of time, people will have to answer and chew God's word. Jesus said when he sent the disciples out, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world and even to the end of the age. And the agricultural figure of the word being a seed, it's a never-dying seed. That is, it's this incorruptible seed. Everything, every other plant dies at some point, but the word of God will be here in the end to judge us. And so that's the thing that we should base what we do in religion on, not any of the other things that we've talked about. And then thirdly, traditions become transgressions when they focus on what's on the outside rather than what's on the inside. Notice verse 10 and verse 11. Not that which goes out of the mouth defiles a man, but not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth. You see, it was not making sure something was ceremonially clean as before you ate. It's what's in your heart. And if what's in your heart is unclean, then whatever ceremony you're going through is not going to matter. You've got to get the heart right first for your outward actions to be right. And so Jesus, with this background, says that the Pharisees are one of these groups that's something that the Lord has not planted, and they will be rooted up. Now, religious groups that are not what the Lord planted, boy, that's not a very politically correct thing, is it, in today's day and time? Notice Jesus' warnings about false teachers here in this next section. Notice, first of all, the Pharisees were offended by Jesus' teaching. Are there some things that Jesus says today that people that call themselves Christians will not teach? Yes. They are offended by that. Secondly, notice that false teachers are, in a sense, tares among the wheat. This is only two chapters away from Matthew 13, which we'll address in a further lesson, where Jesus talks about the parable of the tares and the wheat. And the thing about the darnel, the tares, is that it looks a lot like the wheat until it's full grown. And so there are religious groups that look like what the Lord has planted, but then when judgment day comes, they'll be rooted up. And that's what Jesus is saying here about the Pharisees. He says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted, verse 13, shall be rooted up. And so they are, in a sense, like God's plant, similar in some ways, but in the end, it will make all the difference whether you are in what the Lord has planted or whether you are in something that some man has planted. And of course, we seek to just plant what the Lord has planted. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We want to plant what the Lord has planted. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, you are the Lord's husbandry, his field. We want to be in the Lord's field and not in something else. And then notice this, that it says here, Jesus says in verse 14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, then both shall fall into the ditch. Are all false teachers out there aware that they are false teachers? They're blind to it. Are all people that follow false teachers aware that they are following a false teacher? Will people be able to say in the day of judgment if a false teacher has led them away from God's word, well, my preacher said this. If you're following the blind and you're blindly following the blind and he's going into the ditch, where are you going? Into the ditch. Now, that's not popular. That's not something that people will try to teach today, but that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that false teachers are spiritually blind. They're going to destruction and they're leading others to destruction. And so that's why it's important for us to examine what Jesus actually said rather than following blindly whatever the religious leader says. Don't take what I say just because I say it. Because guess what? I can be wrong. Make sure that you follow what God says. And so finally, let me just examine this in regard to being clean versus unclean. Notice in verses 15 through 20, Jesus expands this teaching and tells us the difference between the ceremonial cleanness that they emphasized on the outside and what true cleanness is. Jesus said, it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out. And what is that? Well, there's three categories. First of all, he lists evil thoughts. Secondly, he lists evil deeds, murders, adulteries, this is verse 19, fornications, thefts. And thirdly, he lists evil words, that is, false witnesses and blasphemies. So what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your heart? What comes out of the inside of you, your inner person? That's what defiles you. Not whether or not you followed some tradition of the elders, that the Pharisees had been binding on people of ceremonial cleanness. It's whether or not you've really had a clean heart, a clean mind. What about you tonight? Are you willing to be washed up? Are you willing to follow the commandments of God and to be cleansed? In Acts chapter 2, Peter said to those that asked what they should do to be saved, he said in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. In verse 41, we read that those that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. Added unto what? Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to be added by the Lord to his church. I don't want to be in something that some man started. So are you in what the Lord has planted? Are you in his church? We have water back here. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, we're here to help you. In Acts 8, verse 36, the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me? What prevents me from being baptized? What prevents you this evening from being baptized into Christ? From doing what Paul was told in Acts 22, verse 16, to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you will do that tonight, we're here to help you. Maybe you've done the first things and you've fallen away and you need to come back. We're here to help you along that line as well. Whatever your need might be, please come while together we stand and while we sing.
So why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly. Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and prepare to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition and prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and prepare to meet thy God.
Be seated, please.